a lonely vegetarian sweep. You off your feet like a maid Marian having fun, like a seminarian awake. You say you're a happy Unitarian laughing in the wind like an old Bulgarian. Hey, by the way, are you a librarian? Oh, how sweet, a lonely librarian. Oh, so neat, are you a librarian? Are you a librarian?
Hello and welcome to the Mount Kisco Public Library Podcast. I'm Deirdre.
And I'm Maria.
And today we're interviewing Kristen Kishore, author of Graceling, who is now working on a couple of other books.
Yay! To be published soon.
Good morning, Kristen.
Yes, good to hear from you.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. This is so much fun already. So, obviously, we're librarians, library students, and we love to read, and we have a couple of questions, some from just random people and some from ourselves.
So. Great. Well, I just pulled out my atlas so I could verify where Mount Kisco was, so now I know where I'm talking to.
Oh, you are awesome. Yeah, we're in northern Westchester.
Just about an hour north of the city, of New York City. So.
Right. Cool.
Yeah. So, Maria, did you want to start?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I guess I can. Like Deirdre said, we have some questions just from our patrons and then some questions from us. So this is my first question. It's about Raffin and Katza. Raffin seems to be one of the few people who really understands Katza. Was there an inspiration or a real-life counterpart to Raffin?
There wasn't a real-life counterpart. I would have to think for a minute about whether there was an inspiration. I think it was more that when I had the initial idea for the book, I knew about the characters of Katza and Poe. I knew they existed, and I knew that Katza was very alienated, and I think I just needed her to have someone who understood her. It was kind of just a necessity for her character, and Raffin grew from that.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, I mean, I feel like he definitely added a lot to her character.
Good. I'm glad.
Here's one from me now, and I was thinking about a couple of things that are really fascinating about this story. And one of the things I thought, a lot of the time there are fairy tale precedents for stories
right.
that people write. But I was thinking you've come up with one of the scariest villains ever.
Yes, and, definitely.
And I think that what's so scary about him is that although it's a fairy tale in a sense, he is so realistic. And it seems in a way more political. I couldn't think of a fairy tale precedent for him.
Right.
But you do think of people like Hitler or Mussolini or people like that who are skilled orators, for instance.
Yes.
Was that an inspiration of yours, or
It wasn't a direct inspiration. I wasn't thinking of anyone in particular. But what I kind of found as I was creating the different graces is that literally they were impossible powers. But if you look around the world, you can see people now and then who kind of embody each of those powers, even the creepier ones like mind reading. There are people who, they aren't mind readers, but they're extremely intuitive and fighting. You know, you have people like Bruce Lee or Jackie Chan who just do have what seem to be superhuman powers, you know. So the graces kind of became, for me, extensions of real life abilities, and definitely Lex Grace is, I don't want to give away tons of spoilers, but for people who haven't read the book, but his Grace is definitely one of them. There are people who are eerily influential who manage to get much more power than they really should, and you look at them and wonder, how is this person able to get everyone on his side this way? You know.
Yeah.
So I guess, like I said, he wasn't directly influenced by anyone in particular, but powerful people in general who become more powerful than they should definitely did influence his character.
Yeah, because at times it almost seems like he's hypnotizing the people around him. I mean, would you say that's, I don't know, true? Or, I don't know, that's how it came across to me.
Yeah, yeah. It is, I think, kind of a hypnosis. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Maybe this is a bit of an easier question. I love how the Leonids have colorful names. How did you come up with the names for your characters?
That's a funny question because, especially with fantasy names, it's such a funny exercise. At a certain point, I'm just like, this is so silly. I'm just coming up with real life names and then changing a couple letters and saying, okay, yes, this is the name. The colorful Leonid names just sort of happened. It may have been because I started with a couple like Bitterblue, for example, and then thought, oh, this is actually kind of neat. Why not give them all sort of color references? And it made sense with Leonid to me. It's a very colorful land. But in terms of how I come up with names, I'm always looking. I look at the credits of movies and TV shows, or I look at road signs when I'm traveling. Anything that kind of has that, it's hard to explain what the sound is, but that sort of high fantasy sound, what often happens is that there are words that end with N because they have sort of an Irish sound to them.
Okay.
A lot of my characters' names, I've gone back and looked, an embarrassing number of them end in N. I also try to avoid giving all the women names that end in A or with the sound E, just because, I don't know, I like female names that don't end with obvious female sounds. With the book I'm writing now, this bunch of advisors that I've written, I realized at a certain point that they all had the names of Philadelphia suburbs.
Oh, my goodness.
And I really needed to change a few because otherwise people who live in that area would be like, I know who's coming next because it's whatever's next on, you know, I-95 or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That is funny. But I have to say, you definitely have, the characters in your books have some of my favorite names.
Oh, so thank you.
I just wanted to let you know that.
That's always good to hear because I always feel like I'm just doing this very silly exercise with the names and people are probably laughing at my names.
Oh, no, not at all.
Well, with the possible exception of Poe, I have to say I've heard people really wondering why Poe, but...
Yeah, you know, I don't really remember how I came up with Poe's name, but when I... You know, it's a nickname.
Yes, obviously. Yeah.
But I don't completely remember. But when I settled on it, it just sounded right to me. I don't know if you follow my blog, you may know that that turns out that Poe means butt in German. So we've
yes,
had to change
I did
his
know that.
Name. Yes. We've had to change his name in the German edition.
Although I did know a girl who married a Swedish man and his name was Bo, so
that is actually the name
close.
that we went with in the German edition.
Aha. Okay,
so Katza herself, I think what's so fascinating about her is that her grace isolates her so much. It's really powerful, but I guess one thing that I was wondering, how did you come up with the idea of somebody so isolated and yet central in a society?
Oh, you know, I don't know what the answer to that is, and it's funny that you ask it because you could describe the character of my next book, Fire, exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So clearly it's a theme,
oh.
but I honestly don't. I honestly don't have an answer for you. She just came that way.
Well, you're making me very anxious to read the next book. Maria and I were trying to be very careful not to ask too much about the upcoming books.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much.
Okay. So speaking of Katza's grace, I was wondering if you knew what her grace was before you started writing, or did it reveal itself to you during the writing process?
That's a very funny question. Partly because I can't completely remember.
Okay.
But I am pretty sure, having gone back rather recently and looked at my original plan and my notes, that I did know her grace and I knew the progression of her grace, same with Poe, before I started, and it was one of the important things I wanted to convey from the beginning.
Right, and I think actually, Kristen, what's most interesting about it to me is that her grace seems to be one thing, but it really is something else.
Right.
And
yeah.
And maybe the same with him. Yeah, definitely the same with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, again, that's another thing. I'm not, it wasn't I didn't have a deliberate reason for doing that. It just, that's just how it came to me. And once it did, I knew, yes, this is right. This is what I want to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yes, very.
Well, I'm glad, because I feel like it's a non-answer. I'm basically telling you, I don't know why that happened.
Well, that's okay, though, because that's one of the things I really liked about their grace, is it made them seem, in a way, very realistic. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of young people have that experience that they maybe discover a talent, but that they might have, or an interest, and then it morphs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I see what you mean. Hmm. Yeah, well, I'm glad that worked out.
Oh, so are we, for
yes,
sure.
Definitely.
So are we going to ask a big question now, Maria?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'm looking at the list of questions I
have. A big one, did you say?
Yeah, well, we had a big one that I know would probably interest your blog readers, and it's one that we've heard people here say a lot. And why is it, anyway, that young adult literature is really the best thing you can read these days?
Oh.
Why are all the best writers doing YA?
Oh, that's a very kind question, first of all. And it's also a very fun question. You know, I don't really know, but I have to say that one of the things I love about YA is that you're dealing with all the same themes that are dealt with in literature published for adults. There's nothing you can't write about, but there's a certain freshness to YA because of the age of your characters. They're dealing with these issues for the first time ever in their lives, so they're dealing with politics and with injustice and with romance and with sex and with all these things, but with an extra intensity because it's the first time. And in my opinion, I don't think adolescence really ends. No, you're just kind of dealing with new things your entire life. But there's just something about writing for that age level that makes it a great, I'm not explaining this well.
No,
but
you're explaining it very well.
Yeah, okay, good. It just seems like you can write a story for characters of that age, and it makes a great metaphor for what we are experiencing for the entire rest of our lives. I mean, I'm only 32, so I don't know what I'm going to be experiencing when I'm older, but I don't feel like all that much more of an adult than I felt when I was 18. Every new thing is just as challenging as it was then. So, I don't know. It makes perfect sense to me that people my age and older love YA.
Yes.
I know. I feel like recently every book I pick up has been, at least here in our library, cataloged in the YA section. So, and I love that list you put on your blog.
Oh, good. I had a lot of fun with that, and some friends helped me out.
Yes, I picked up a few off your list, so I haven't started them yet because I'm just at the end of my semester, but hopefully soon.
Yeah.
Good. Which one did you pick up?
I picked up Peeps.
Oh, yeah.
And then someone else in the comments mentioned A Great and Terrible Beauty.
Oh yeah.
So I picked up those two.
Yeah, I haven't actually read that one yet. It's on my list.
Okay.
But Peeps is really good, and it's also really funny.
Oh, good. Comedy is good.
Yeah.
And I love how you mentioned the Atolia books by Megan Whalen Turner.
Oh, yes. Big faves.
I just finished reading them, and they're just, oh, they're so unbelievable. And I want to blog about them at some point, but I'm actually afraid to. I'm afraid of people commenting.
Oh, no.
That they wish she would write faster.
Oh, no.
I feel so defensive of her because those books are so complicated. They're so beautiful.
Yes.
And I know how the book I'm writing right now is writing very slowly. And I don't know. I guess I just want to say that I hope she takes as long as she wants and as long as she needs, because those books are worth waiting for.
Yes. I just want to live long enough to read them all, you know?
Right,
but yes, I'm totally with you. I think that some of the problems with, say, J.K. Rowling's math and things this that people have commented on, she was under a lot of pressure to turn out like a book a year or whatever it was, you know, very
quickly. I don't know how she did that. I have no idea how she managed to do that.
But I think for the meticulousness that you see in those books, all authors should take as long as they need.
Yes. Hear, hear.
Yeah. I had one more question. I don't know if this is going to be one people would like or not, but I know that a lot of people have been concerned, and that's Katza is so anti-marriage, and... And I thought, well, maybe there's a couple of reasons for this. You know, she doesn't want children. Is this her idea that maybe a grace would be a curse and it could be inherited? Or is it more about her freedom or her youth? Or why anti-marriage?
Well, I can't really answer that because you're asking me to explain subtext in the book in a way. The book kind of has to be its own explanation, so people can certainly come up with their own theories.
Right, right, sure.
I can say that it's just the way she came to me.
Right, right.
And I couldn't have made her any other way.
Uh-huh.
It's just the way she is.
Huh. Yeah, I can see that. I'm just, that was not my question as much as other people's, but
right,
I felt
should ask that one. It's a familiar question.
Yeah.
And my answer, I can't answer that, is also becoming like, I'm sorry. I wish I could give you more.
That's okay.
That's okay. Okay, I actually have one more question for you.
Sure.
And I've read interviews with other authors where they said that during the writing process, their characters... sort of surprised them. So I was wondering if during your writing of Graceling, if any of your characters surprised you.
That's a fun question. And the answer is definitely yes. What happens, the way that happens with me is that I'll be writing conversation. I'll be writing dialogue, and it'll just suddenly veer off into this direction that I never intended.
Yeah.
And I just can't figure out, you know, how to rein it in. Like, will these people please stop talking so that I can get back and kind of get them to go into the direction I need them to go? And I love when that happens, because that's when you get your little ideas about how to connect things or about why this thing you're doing now will have significance later. So definitely yes, and usually it's the way they talk and the things I discover while they're talking.
Oh, that's interesting. That was a very good answer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, and now just as a final question, I wondered if there's anything that you think that your readers should really know, or anything that you actually want to say. Well, I was going to say about the upcoming books, but maybe I won't say that.
You're so patient and kind with me. I would have to say that there is one thing, and that is that I am completely stunned by the fact that people are reading my book and by the support I've received and by the foreign support too that I've received, and I am just so grateful to everyone who is reading my book or is interested in reading it or who's checked out my blog or who's asked me to do podcasts. I just am so stunned and touched by that. So I guess thank you is what I want to say.
Oh, thank you very much. And also for writing and continuing to write.
Oh, well, you're very welcome.
Maria and I would also like to thank everyone very much for listening to this podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please do vote for us on Podcast Alley. And of course, we'd like to thank Kyle and his band, The Iliad, for our opening song, and Cursor Minor for our great closing song. By the way, if you'd like to do something really fun other than listening to our podcast, you should come to the Witches Rock Concert in Armonk on Monday, May 18th. It's free, it's fun, and it features great performers from all over the world. If you'd like more information, please call the library, 914-666-8041. In the meantime, remember, there's one place you can go for all your information and entertainment needs. That's right, your public library. That's it for today, but please check back with us soon and have a great week. Bye.
The library, it's the place where books are free. The library, it's a lot better than watching TV. The sections about almost everything. You'll always find something you're interested in. Place tectonics or embroidery, Michael Kors, Tillow or the banyan tree. The library.